Hello, you Awakening Wonders. They're on Spotify, Apple, Stink Whistle, Gurgle Dot, or wherever you download your podcast these days to remain at least peripherally connected to some tendril of truth in a bewildering miasma of lies and propaganda. We appreciate you and we love you. You're part of our community. So that's why we're very happy to give you an audio version of our live Rumble show 5 days a week. It's on Monday to Friday. We decipher the latest news stories. We break down current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. And if they aren't, then we critique why they're not and what they are covering. Every week as well, right? We do brilliant conversations with people like Jordan Peterson, RFK, Tucker, Carlson, Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate. These things are already up and you can listen to them now. So remember, this is an audio version of our daily live show. To tune in live, go to rumble.com/Russell Brand. You'll find it easily and I hope that you will love it. Now please enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Thanks.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks so much for joining us today for Stay Free with Russell Brand. We are streaming live throughout the known world, even now. And yet, after 15 minutes, we will exclusively be available on Rumble so that we can speak freely on subjects like censorship in Ukraine and how that, I was about to say how that affects me directly and personally. That's not the main issue. The main issue is deep state money is being spent on smearing dissenters and censorship. It's your money, actually. It's taxpayer dollars. It's a brilliant story based on reporting by Li Fang. We'll be getting into that in a minute. We'll be talking about updates on Julian Assange and the likelihood that he will be extradited. You know, that they said, look, if we extradite Julian Assange, will you say that you won't death penalty him where it hurts? Sure, we won't death penalty him. And will he get free speech? Sure, we can say that. And there you go. RVNKO on the Rumble chat. You look like a bleeding tangerine, Russell. Why, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, we got so much to offer you. We're talking about as well. The main thing you're going to want to see, I think, is when we talk about the Trump distraction trial. Is this trial artfully designed to prevent us from observing? Well, God, it would be enough that the Bill 702, the Pfizer Act, is being passed and made even worse, but also the ongoing funding for a variety of wars. I do not want to sound hyperbolic, particularly as that's one of the things that can get you censored these days. Emotional speech is cited as one of the qualities that ought be categorized as disinformation. We are in extraordinary times. We must awaken together. And that's why it's so important that if it's within your means, use the code ISURRENDER to get 1 month free as an Awakened Wonder, where you'll be in our locals community. You get an exclusive video every single week. You also get to do my book club. Where does Russell get his shirts? My wife bought me it. Mind your own business. Get out of here. So we've got a fantastic show, is essentially what I'm telling you. Cheers. Let's get into it. So we'll be doing those stories, censorship in your country, censorship in Ukraine, the Trump distraction is all coming up. Meanwhile, the President of the United States is getting all muddled up about what to bomb and what not to bomb. Here's a simple suggestion. If you are confused about what to bomb and what not to bomb, don't bomb anything.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just look what we did recently.
Haifa and Rafah admittedly are words that sound similar, but one is in Gaza and one is in Israel. Some might argue that neither should be bombed, that no one deserves to die, that we must find a route to peace. Let me know in the chat. Globalization continues along with it, the trend of authoritarianism in Germany. Do not drive. Sit perfectly still. A reduction in traffic to help meet the climate goals would only be possible through measures that are difficult to communicate to the public, such as comprehensive and indefinite driving bans on Saturdays and Sundays. Do you see how climate change is being utilised not to penalise, persecute or control the interests of the powerful, but to legitimise further authoritarianism? Of course, the planet is beautiful and that we should act in conjunction with nature in a spirit of harmony, reverence, respect, and love. It's difficult not to imagine, though, that the climate change phenomena is being utilised to legitimise further authoritarianism. It is with some interest that I note that the WHO treaty allows them to impose legislation and regulation in the event of further pandemics, in the event of climate change crisis. It allows them to censor misinformation and disinformation. It's astonishing. Now, this is reporting on censorship within Ukraine that is funded by CIA carve-outs. Have a look at this post by Max Blumenthal. It's a good way into it. Ultimately, it pertains to reporting done by friend of the show, Lee Fang. We'll be exploring this in more detail. Obviously, we will, because I'm in it. But it's extraordinary to see the list of people that this CIA carve-out are seeking to smear, shut down and censor. Because it's like when you get in trouble at school or whatever, and you've been like that, it's all my mates. It's all a bit like Aaron May. I know Aaron May, Max Blumenthal. I know him. Jeffrey Sachs, he came on the show. Tucker Carlson. Ooh, Tucker. So here are the posts. Lee Fang said, USAID, or USA, depends how you say it, funded Ukrainian media. USAID-funded Ukrainian media are helping Facebook remove alleged Russian disinfo content. The same groups, without evidence, claim Americans favouring a diplomatic solution to the conflict, Jeffrey Sachs, John Mearsheimer, Glenn Greenwald, etc., are Russian propaganda agents. Blumenthal, who's also on the list along with me, says the State and National Endowment for Democracy, a CIA cutout, are funding shady NGOs in Kiev to smear American critics of the disastrous Ukraine proxy war. UK government-sponsored Vox Ukraine has a series of videos attacking me, Jimmy Dore, Wyatt Reid, Rusty Rockets, and more. Guess which one we're going to show you a little bit of now. Let me know in the chat. Do you think I'm going to show you a bit of propaganda attacking Max Blumenthal, Jeffrey Sachs? Who do you think it's going to be?
Russell Brand is a British actor, publicist, and broadcaster who began his career as a comedian. Brand leads an outrageous lifestyle and is constantly placed in all sorts of scandals. YouTube has already stripped his channel of ad revenue for violating its creator liability policy.
To be fair, that's not her actual voice. We translated it into English. The key point, of course, being that the funding for Vox Media ultimately comes from you if you're paying taxes in the United States. And in the video, it goes on to claim that I am a pro-Russian Putin apologist. But I don't know. Sometimes you're accused of something. You think, well, wouldn't I know if that was true? Wouldn't I know? Like, I would know because I am me and I was there. So I know what I've done and I know what I've not done. And isn't it extraordinary that deep state agencies are spending money to convey the idea that this is a pro-Putin? Now, I don't think that Russia should be granted dominion over Ukraine. I think that the war should end for the benefit of everyone involved, just if you're interested.
Let's see. Now the channel has 6.5 million subscribers, is devoid of monetization.
That's why you've got to subscribe to Rumble, guys.
The way it became especially popular during the COVID-19 pandemic, when Brand began to spread conspiracy theories about the coronavirus.
Some of those conspiracy theories include that lockdowns might have had penurious, difficult and injurious consequences on other conditions like heart disease and cancer, mental health, addiction. They may even have contributed to rising suicide rates, that certain medications were not trialed for their impact on transmission, that there is some interesting information emerging when it comes to adverse events. You let me know in the chat what within that is COVID misinformation or misinformation of any description. But what becomes clear is that misinformation is a category that's being created specifically and deliberately to afford the ability to censor. Indeed, even in their own description of the term misinformation and disinformation, some of the CIA carve-outs and the groups that they're funding admit that emotional rhetoric and jokes and well-communicated ideas are the type of information that has to be censored. It's not about truth, it's not about facts, it's about control and power. And anyone that opposes the narratives that the powerful would prefer is in serious jeopardy right now. The legacy media, the judiciary, and the state are operating way beyond the remit of representative democracy to assert a globalist agenda that increasingly seems to me like it will result in all of us, to one degree or another, being tyrannized. And because it doesn't resemble the types of tyrannies that we are familiar with from previous centuries, militaristic, marching, shiny boots, fantastic logos, but ultimately terrible genocides, we are becoming distracted. What we are being confronted with is technological dictatorship, the misuse of data, the ability through surveillance to control entire populations, the ability through social media and the censorship of social media to convey and amplify narratives that are useful for the agenda of the powerful, and to remove, annihilate, and discredit any narratives or purveyors of narratives that are not convenient to the agenda of the powerful. Let me know what you think about that in the Rumble chat, while the Rumble chat is still an option, because it's becoming clear that organizations such as Meta and Alphabet Google are participating to a various degree in various types of endeavor that include censorship. And that's putting it rather gently. I hope everything's going okay in locals, guys. SueBiz22, you guys, is the stream all okay? Are you okay? JimEarthC137. Remember, if you use the code ISURRENDER, you get 1 month free. That's how confident we are in our content. You know me, I could talk about myself all day, but we know that there are much, 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 much more important stories to convey. Not least of all, the story of Julian Assange, who moved one step closer to extradition today when the US predictably offered the assurances that the UK judiciary sought before agreeing to extradite him. If we extradite this Assange character, do you promise you'll give him a fair trial? Absolutely, we will give him a fair trial. So let's get into this story. Let's see what Stella Assange, the leader of his campaign, and his wife has to say. And let's look at where censorship and indeed what happens when you purport to convey and relay information that's adversarial to powerful interests. What happened to Julian Assange? What happens when people do it today? And are even now bills and laws being passed that afford more surveillance than we would have ever deemed possible? And what's it all for? Over the course of the show, a British guy has to put on a British accent, says Sundown Snowscape. Yeah, that was ridiculous, wasn't it? I can't be any more British than this. Mary Joan Lomas says, pray for Julian. We are praying for Julian. Let's have a look as Julian Assange's extradition sadly edges closer, but as yet we may be able to oppose this extradition. I hope so, I pray.
Lawyers for the White House have given a London court the assurances it requested over how he'll be treated by the US judicial system. The US has guaranteed it won't impose the death penalty if Assange is convicted, that his Australian nationality won't prejudice his trial or sentence, and that he can seek to use the US Constitution's First Amendment right to freedom of speech in his defence. In a statement, Assange's wife Stella called the assurances blatant weasel words.
The case will now return to the High Court in London next month, where lawyers on both sides will make their final arguments to the justices. A decision will then be made on whether or not he can be extradited or if he'll be given another right to appeal.
As his legal avenues in the UK dry up, efforts to broker a diplomatic deal become more desperate.
Let's see what Stella Assange posted. The United States has issued a non-assurance in relation to the First Amendment and a standard assurance in relation to the death penalty. So a non-assurance. They may, and it's interesting actually, because you can hear from how Stella breaks this down, that they're not saying, no, he's got the First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, that's a right. And freedom of speech, look, increasingly we're seeing he's not a right. Listen to the story we've just told you. It's as if Julian Assange and Chelsea Manning and Edward Snowden, it's as if that whole thing never happened, because the deep state are spending money censoring information, smearing dissidents, your money, by the way, even now today, in relation to current conflicts, the conflict between Ukraine and Russia, at a time when bills are being passed for even more of billions of dollars of taxpayer money to go on funding wars in the Middle East, wars in Europe, wars in the South Chinese Sea. I mean, it's becoming extraordinary. Well, is extraordinary. It makes no undertaking to withdraw the prosecution's previous assertion that Julian has no First Amendment rights because he is not a US citizen. Instead, the US has limited itself to blatant weasel words, claiming that Julian can seek to raise the First Amendment if extradited. He can raise it. What about, like, the First Amendment? Well done. Nicely raised. The diplomatic note does nothing to relieve our family's extreme distress about his future, his grim expectation of spending the rest of his life in isolation in US prison for publishing award-winning journalism. The Biden administration must drop this dangerous prosecution before it's too late. Let's see what Caitlin Johnston has to say, because she's a brilliant, brilliant journalist who I think is always able to articulate precisely how power and the various intersections of power ensure that tyranny is always presented as some kind of health and safety measure that's for the mutual benefit of us all. So they're really doing it. The Biden administration is really ignoring Australia's request to end the case against Assange, and they're proceeding with their campaign to extradite a journalist for telling the truth about US war crimes. In order to move the extradition case forward, per a British High Court ruling, US prosecutors needed to provide assurances that the US would not seek the death penalty and would not deprive Assange of his human right to free speech because of his nationality. But all of our free speech is under threat. The bill that's going through your Senate right now is not only a reiteration of the Patriot Act, but an enhancement of it, meaning that the United States could be turned into a nation of spies, that you will never again see heroes like Edward Snowden or Chelsea Manning or global heroes like Julian Assange. Excuse me. Oh, I've got a terrible cough. I wish there was a vaccine available. I'd take it. Just tell me. Don't even tell me what's in it. I'll take it. Just before I take it, the spike protein, it remains in the delta. What? It migrates? What if it found its way into the cellular tissue around the heart? This cleavage, I've seen that before somewhere, in a patent document that was sent to Wuhan by the EcoHealth Alliance. Okay, nothing to worry about? Nothing to worry about. Jolly good. The US provided the assurance against the death penalty, which they previously opposed doing, and for the free speech assurance, they said only that Assange will be able to raise and seek to rely upon. Do you see how I love this? It's Kafkaesque bureaucratic language. What they're saying in the phrase raise and seek to rely upon is there's nothing wrong with him mentioning it and trying to use it, but we're not going to allow him to use it, because if he was allowed to use it, this entire scenario would be unraveled. Because actually, all Julian Assange ever did was publish award-winning journalism and revelations about massive international corruption. As ChatterX says on RumbleNet right now, when exposing a crime is treated like a crime, you're being ruled by criminals. Edward Snowden, right there. Guys, let's do the remember the 30-second thing. Okay, let's continue with this. A decision as to the applicability of the First Amendment is exclusively within the purview of the US courts, which is basically just saying, I mean, you're welcome to try to have free speech protections. Yeah, Caitlin. They're just squeezing and squeezing this man as hard as they can for as long as they can get away with to keep him silent and make an example of him to show what happens when journalists reveal unauthorized information about the empire. Just like Gaza, the persecution of Julian Assange makes a lie of everything the US and its Western allies claim to stand for and reveals the cruel face of tyranny. beneath the mask of liberal democracy. Let me know what you think about that. Sounds like a pretty succinct summing up of the situation. If you're watching us on YouTube, we're gonna leave you there. But let's start the countdown. But we got so much coming up. We're talking about 702, a piece of legislation that's going to inhibit your freedom even further and potentially turn the entire United States into a nation of spies. Remember, become a awakened wonder. We give you 1 month free if you want it. 1 month to get access to exclusive videos. Join our book club where we talk about mere Christianity. We do weekly meditations. You will love it. And of course, we do exclusive videos that they've never let us get away with on YouTube. Click the link. Join us now. See you in a few seconds. Click the link, guys. Come over. Come over. And now you're here, how about a couple of these little guys? Why don't you get them up your pie hole? Delicious, glorious swag. Now, any money that we make from this stuff, we use to support people with addiction issues. We get them into treatment centres and we help them. That's basically what the endeavour's for. So not only will you be helping yourself to a lovely little backpack with 25% off, you will be helping junkies, not to get drugs, but to get off drugs, which what could be better than that? Now, we are unable to continue to bring you this content without the support of our partners. Now, not only are these little guys dangerous because they're spying on you, as Edward Snowden brilliantly revealed. Thank you, Dalai Lama. Thank you for deciphering information. We need more ravens like you. We've got to be a raven nation. We've got to be tricksters. Not only do these little guys spy on us, but they also apparently radiate our brains. Have a look at what Aries Tech offer you in the way of support. Let's look at that. We can't bring you this earth-shattering, paradigm-changing content without the support of our partners and without clear heads. That's why I'm happy to tell you that AirTech are the only published, peer-reviewed, patented EMF protection solution. That means electromagnetic field, you know that. Trusted by experts, neuroscientists, doctors, biohackers, and pro-fighting athlete cage fighters, its effectiveness has been proven in real time using EEG brain scan demonstrations. Remove the fear and unknown levels of daily exposure and have peace of mind with AirTech LifeTune Protection. Over 20 years invested in research and development, AirTech technology creates synergy between you and your devices by modulating and transforming chaotic frequencies to match our own biological energy. Unlock better wellness. Go to airstech.com and use the code RUSSELL30 for 30% off your entire purchase. Have one of these in your area. And remember, if you're an awakened wonder, you can see in our 5G video exactly why this stuff is so important. So take advantage of this offer. Click the link in the description. Let's get back to the content, baby. Today, the Senate are voting on Section 702. Now, this is vital for you if you're American or if you're a citizen of the world. Come over, join us. The US Senate is expected to reauthorize the contentious warrantless surveillance powers conferred by Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. That's FISA. I mean, do you ever hear that sound and it not be connected to corruption? And may even strengthen them with language that, according to US Senator Ron Wyden, will force a huge range of companies and individuals to spy for the government. That's not fair. How's that fair? Spying for the government? That's not fair. I'm not doing that. The White House has urged the Senate to swiftly pass this bill before the authority expires on April 19th. So they're on a ticking clock. You bet they're going to get this hurried and through. You notice how, like, people say, reform is a slow process. Sure, we'd like to build a better and fairer and more judicious world, but the wheels of democracy, they sure turn slow. Hey, we got 24 hours! Or we're not going to be able to spy on everyone in America. It's done. They can move fast when they need to move fast. You better believe that. If you don't understand the gravity and import of this situation, let's see what Edward Snowden's got to say. The NSA is just days from taking over the internet, and it's not on the front page of any newspaper because no one has noticed. This is a post from, I'm now beginning to realise, a rather brilliant person, Elizabeth Goitein, who writes, if this bill becomes law, any company or individual that provides any service whatsoever may be forced to assist in NSA surveillance as long as they have access to equipment on which communications are transmitted or stored, such as routers, or maybe you guys say routers, servers, cell towers, etc. Well, that seems to be cause for some concern. doesn't it? Now, Elizabeth Goyteyn has written in detail about this, so let's see what's going on. But the idea that the NSA is days from taking over the internet is concerning enough. When that's coming from Edward Snowden, who's currently in exile in evil bad Russia, just to let you know, I don't think Russia's great, or it's really bad Russia. Boo, Tchaikovsky. Boo, Solzhenitsyn. Damn you, Tolstoy. You Cossacks doing that sort of dancing down like that, that's bad. It's a bad place. They're bad people, the Russians, every single last one of them. That's how simple the world is. Indeed, as I've said before, and I'm sure I'll have cause to say again, it was the Russian writer Solzhenitsyn who, from the Gulag, wrote, "The line between good and evil runs not between nations, creeds, or religions, but through every human heart." But what does he know? He's a Russian. Boo! Boo! Let's have a look at what Elizabeth Goyteyn is telling us about Section 702 and how it's going to enhance your government's ability to spy on you. Even though it's called the Foreign International Surveillance Act, it permits your nation to spy on you. Look at what they're doing to Julian Assange. Look at what they've done to Edward Snowden. Look at what these organizations are doing to anyone who opposes military action. To be anti-war is not to be pro-Russia. To be anti-war does not mean you condemn any national or cultural group. It just means you're anti-war and anti-violence and believe that in 2024 human beings might have access to other realms of consciousness and different solutions. And when they continue to mire us in mindless violence, they deny our sacred nature. And isn't that the point of the project? To deny us our vision, to ensure that we inhabit limited environments of foolishness, low horizons, so every child grows up now baffled and confused and uncertain, disoriented, unsure of nature, unsure of truth. But we have access to great power, and it's within us now. Let us unify, and let's learn what Elizabeth Goyteyn's got to teach us about this new draconian measure that I reckon when we wake up tomorrow will have been passed. Buried in the Section 702 Reauthorization Bill, RISAA, passed by the House on Friday, so it's already been passed by Congress, is the biggest expansion of domestic surveillance since the Patriot Act, which was, of course, a response to an atrocity, the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center, which subsequently led to military interventionism and action in Iraq and Afghanistan, which in retrospect did not make sense, meant that millions of people died, that terrorist organisations were created. It was not a good thing. Indeed, you could argue that some of the conflicts that are unfolding even now are the legacy of some of the decisions that was made at that were made at that time. But what's happening now is the ability to oppose militaristic measures is being increasingly prohibited and limited, whether it's the Ukraine-Russia conflict or conflicts that are escalating in the Middle East. As this becomes a real issue for Joe Biden, as this makes an unpopular president even less electable, this conversation is being exorcised from the internet. Remember, it's not that long ago that Aaron Bushnell, American serviceman, set himself on fire in protest against actions in Gaza and what he perceived to be tacit American support for those actions through the supply of weapons. Now, your country, the United States of America, and my country, the UK, we are involved in that conflict since Iran's escalation, which in itself was a response to the bombing of a consulate. The way that these things are narrativized matters. It's important. Our ability to communicate on these subjects matters. It's important. That's why these bills are being passed. That's why Julian Assange is in Belmarsh without trial. That's why Edward Snowden is in Russia. That's why CIA carve-outs are censoring and smearing Aaron Maté, Jeffrey Sachs, Glenn Greenwald, Tucker Carlson, me. That's why we continually see dissenting voices online attacked. And the fact that I'm one of them obviously means I'm sort of personally affected by it. Of course I am. How could I not be personally affected by the things that have happened in the last 6 months? Some of the worst slurs and attacks that any man could ever face or be accused of. I'm only human. Of course I'm outraged and appalled. But the fact is, important though that is, that has nothing compared to our mutual ability to communicate freely with one another so that we we can oppose the larger agenda of globalism and forever wars, an agenda that is well underway and if not opposed immediately and with great vehemence and great dedication, dedication that will not come from the cowed, denied and supplicant people that we're becoming under their tyranny, that will only come if we're able to engage with a different power, a different force, a gentler voice. Where might we find it? Let me know in the chat. Where are we going to find this power from? Where are we going to find anything other than endless, continual escalation? Where in ourselves will we look to find the resources and force required to change the world? Because it looks like the clock is ticking, and it's not a chicken in the oven, it's a bomb in the basement. I'll explain how this new power works, continues Goitein. Under current law, the government can compel electronic communication service providers that have direct access to communications to assist the NSA in conducting Section 702 surveillance. In practice, that means companies like Verizon and Google must turn over the communications of the targets of Section 702 surveillance. The targets must be foreigners overseas, like me, I'm overseas, although the communications can and do include communications with Americans. I'm communicating with Americans right now. You're Americans, right? I'm communicating with you guys right now. They will, and who among you do not have any foreign friends? Or are you actually what the neoliberal establishment claims? So insular, so locked in national identity that you don't speak with foreigners. I don't think that of you. Through a seemingly innocuous change to the definition of electronic communications surveillance provider, note that fact that it's innocuous, note that fact that it's bureaucratic creep of tyranny once again that we're confronted with, an amendment offered by House Intel Committee, HPSCI leaders, and passed by the House vastly expands the universe of entities that can be compelled to assist the NSA. If the bill becomes law, any company or individual that provides any service whatsoever may be forced to assist in NSA surveillance as long as they have access to equipment on which communications are transmitted or stored, such as routers, routers, servers, cell towers, etc. That sweeps in an enormous range of US businesses that provide Wi-Fi to their customers and therefore have access to equipment on which communications transit. Barbershops, laundromats, fitness centers, hardware stores, dentist offices, the list goes on and on. Essentially, anywhere that has Wi-Fi would have to hand over information. And do you notice as well the manner in which they tack these things on? The extraordinary manner and covert, sly methods that are deployed to control you, to manipulate and target you. It also includes commercial landlords that rent out the office spaces where tens of millions of Americans go to work every day. Offices of journalists, lawyers, non-profits, financial advisors, healthcare providers and more. When the amendment was first unveiled, one of the Pfizer Court Amici took the highly unusual step of sounding a public alarm. Civil liberties advocates noted that the provision would encompass hotels, libraries, and coffee shops. The version of HPSCI leaders offered Friday therefore exempts hotels, library shops, and coffee shops, plus a handful of other establishments. But as the Pfizer court amicus promptly pointed out, the vast majority of US businesses remain fair game. The amendment even extends to service providers who come into our homes. House cleaners, plumbers, people performing repairs, and IT service providers have access to laptops and routers, routers, inside our homes and could be forced to serve as surrogate spies. Like, in a way, do you get the same... What happens to me when I'm reading this? I'm like, oh God, it's sort of a little bit boring, but hold on a minute. What they're doing is they're facilitating endless espionage and spying while hypocritically condemning Julian Assange for espionage and seeking to extradite him. And all right, they're saying they're not going to execute him, but he may have to spend the rest of his life in jail and he can't say, well, what about free speech? I was a publisher. And now they're increasing these measures. I guess we're going to have to stay calm because this is pretty extraordinary, isn't it? We can't just get lost in passion. We must somehow remain calm. None of these people or businesses will be allowed to tell anyone about the assistance they were compelled to provide. They would be under gag order and they would face heavy penalties if they failed to comply with it. So do you see, once again, like when you look at something like 1984 and you see the sort of grey, drab, Soviet-derived dystopic vision that Orwell rendered, that it is in fact accurate in terms of the power and ability of centralised forces to dominate and control, but the aesthetic is very much Brave New World. Sublime, divine, sweet, anodyne, astringent, clean and hygienic dictatorships where drones immaculately fly and rationally dispense with opponents of the state, where sovereign nations are of course free to make their own decisions and you are of course not free to decide whether or not you want your taxes to continue to fund foreign wars, to continue to fund censorship that ultimately prohibits you from learning the truth, or if not learning the truth, having access to a variety of opposing opinions and then forming your own view and taking your own choices for yourself, for your family, for your community. They want your reality curated and pre-chewed and they want you docile, supine, on a chair, obedient and broken. That's not the worst part. Unlike Google and Verizon, most of these businesses and individuals lack the ability to isolate and turn over a target's communications, so they would be required to give NSA access to the equipment itself or to use techniques or devices presumably provided by the NSA to copy and turn over entire communication streams and or repositories of stored communications, which would inevitably include vast quantities of wholly domestic communications. I urge you, if you've not seen the documentaries, I think it's called Citizen 4, is it Citizen 4? When Snowden made these revelations, he was like a person that had like been given an epiphany, a glimpse into another world. He's frantic. They can spy on you through your phones. They're listening to what they could be listening to us right now. We still live in the vision granted to us by Snowden, conveyed, not that particular piece of journalism, but comparable pieces of comparable revelations were made by Assange. We are appraised and apprised of the information. They've told us at great sacrifice the truth, and yet we are still willing somehow to remain docile, malleable and calm. I'm not opposing tranquility or serenity or inner peace. This is the firm basis upon which our opposition must be built. But the proper response to this, there is but one word for it: revolution. The NSA having wholesale access to domestic communications on an unprecedented scale would then be on the honour system to pull out and retain only the communications of approved foreign targets. Let that sink in. HPS CI leaders deny that the administration has any intent to use this provision so broadly. Supposedly, there is a single type of service provider that the government wants to rope in, but they didn't want anyone to know what that service provider was, so they hid the real goal by writing the amendment as broadly and vaguely as possible. Do you see how often broad, vague legislation is being passed in Ireland, the hate laws, in Canada, the online safety and security, in the UK, in the EU, coming to a country somewhere near you, vague language that always seems to afford them more power? But no worries, Americans. The administration isn't actually going to use all the power it just persuaded the House to give it. I cannot overstate how mind-blowingly irresponsible that is. I don't think any administration should be trusted with an Orwellian power like this one. And remember what you're told all the time. Trump is the potential dictator. Trump is the authoritarian. Trump is the man that will turn the courts against his political opponents. Trump is what you must fear. If you vote for anyone other than Biden, then you are an enemy of democracy. Vote for just one person. That's what democracy means now. We must support democracy in Ukraine. Whose democracy has become somewhat stripped back since they've taken control of the media and stopped elections and shut down political opposition, which is, you could argue, understandable during a war. It all becomes a little more difficult to understand when you appreciate that there was a treaty on the table, but between the United States and the UK, Zelensky was persuaded not to sign it. What extraordinary times. There are certain powers a government should not have in a democracy. The ability to force ordinary businesses and individuals to serve as surrogate spies is one of them. I'll vote for that. Like, if this is something that's been passed by Congress and is likely to get passed by the Senate, do you not think that it's potentially time for us to look at new systems of government? It doesn't seem to be working very well. Even if the targets are supposed to be foreigners, a power this sweeping will be abused. Well, whether it's the ongoing trials and incarceration of Julian Assange or the escalation of powers such as this, it's pretty clear that we are living in a 360 sphere of total power where the legacy media, judiciary, and government are all individually weapons within a globalist artillery that won't rest until we are all entirely subjugated. This is all the more serious because we stand on the precipice potentially of an apocalypse. Our former globalist prime minister and currently globalist foreign minister, David Cameron, says that Israel will likely respond to the Iranian attack. And I think, of course, we imagined and expected that there would be a response, even though extraordinarily we are talking about a region of the world that is defined by spiritual traditions and the birth of the Abrahamic faiths. And the point, surely, of religion, tell me, you know more than I do. Isn't the point of religion for us to access an aspect of ourself that is connected to a force that allows us to discern moral truths that enable us to live well materially, to have relationships with one another that are guided by principles other than spite, vengeance and vendetta? And ultimately, oughtn't the most powerful voices and most powerful forces on our planet be deployed to assuage and de-amplify violence rather than facilitate further violence? Here is David Cameron saying that retaliation against Tehran in Iran is inevitable, necessary, something that all of us, whether we are Israeli or Palestinian or British or French or American or Senegalese, should be contemplating. We should be looking at what the impact is likely to be on all of us.
Foreign Secretary, how concerned are you by Israel's plans to retaliate against Iran?
Well, look, it's right to be here in Israel today to show solidarity after that appalling attack by Iran. We made clear our views yesterday about what should happen next, but we also said Israel is an independent sovereign country and gets to make these choices.
And how concerned...
Israel is an independent sovereign nation, gets to make these choices. Didn't the RAF and the American military participate in the response? And aren't Lockheed Martin and various military industrial complex organisations participating in the ongoing arming? And isn't a bill being passed right now to continue to provide military aid? I don't know, man. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
And are you that we're right on the brink of a full-scale regional war here?
Well, the situation is very concerning. It's right to show solidarity with Israel. It's right to have made our views clear about what should happen next. But it's clear the Israelis are making a decision to act. We hope they do so in a way that does as little to escalate this as possible. And in a way that, as I said yesterday, is smart as well as tough. But the real need is to refocus back on Hamas, back on the hostages, back on getting the aid in.
Do you see, actually, that his function is framing, isn't it? This is an exercise in framing. Hopefully they will respond in a way that escalates it a bit, but not too much. But the really important thing is to ensure that we talk a lot more about Hamas and hostages and a lot less about Gaza. Well, one of the things that we should perhaps be considering is that the House Speaker, Johnson, has unveiled a $95 billion foreign military aid bill. Mike Johnson unveiled three military aid bills for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, totaling over $95 billion in spending, some in the form of repayable loans. Also, the language around this, like grants and loans, as if we're not dealing in extraordinary brutality from all perspectives. The language I want to see from my government, from the global community, is we are doing everything we can to prevent this escalating further, to ensure that this is resolved diplomatically immediately. Johnson as well, though, is a sort of plainly, it says here, the Israel bill totals $26 billion, Ukraine's getting $61 billion. So you're funding the war, you're funding the censorship of people that speak out against the war. That's actually something that I forget, that amidst all of this, somewhere, is the reality that while you're working, you're paying for all of this stuff. The money doesn't come from somewhere else. Okay, there's Mike Johnson says he's a wartime speaker now in a sort of an extraordinary act of grandiosity and an apparent U-turn in his position prior to ascending to the role. House Speaker Mike Johnson called himself a wartime speaker on Tuesday as he defended himself after Thomas Massie called for his resignation over a plan to hold separate votes on military aid for Ukraine, Israel and Taiwan. So there you are. It's this is a very grand person making some pretty grand claims. Now, we asked you earlier, what do you think the Trump trial is actually about? Is it because there is a genuine outrage that needs to be addressed? Donald Trump did what? He reappropriated funds in order to, oh, Stormzy Daniels, justice, justice, I tell you, must be deployed. Is it that there is a judicial principle being pursued here, or is this an attempt to shut down a political opponent and to distract the population of perhaps an entire planet, but certainly the United States, from the fact that you already live in an authoritarian regime hell-bent on global war? So is it a distraction or is it justice? We asked you earlier and you said that you would prefer that the whole damn system be on trial. You'd prefer that Joe Biden be on trial. You are unlikely to get your wish. For indeed, Donald Trump today was in court for the third day of his hush money trial. And finally now, I can tell you that they have found seven people that can claim to be impartial and unbiased on the subject of Donald Trump. But listening to this, the threshold is, I think, too low, because some of these people are saying stuff like, I hate Donald Trump. That guy's a son of a bitch. Listen to some of the things that impartial people are saying. It's really extraordinary.
Seven New Yorkers have now been chosen to decide if former President Donald Trump is guilty of criminal charges in his hush money payment trial. They're the first of 12 jurors and six alternates seated after being questioned by both the prosecution and defense. So far, there are three women and four men. The foreman is originally from Ireland, and there's an oncology nurse who said no one is above the law, and when asked her opinion of Trump, responded, I don't really have one.
Donald Trump. Trump. Oh, yeah, no, I get the guy whose name's on top of his building. You know, I never really think about him. Well, have you got a television? Have you got a newspaper? Are you in the world?
A teacher who has two family members in law enforcement said President Trump speaks his mind, and I'd rather that than someone who's in office who you don't know what they're thinking. There are two attorneys from big law firms and a grandfather originally from Puerto Rico who called...
It's really weird, this, isn't it? It's like some sort of weird Avengers. There's two attorneys, an oncologist and a grandfather. Go and get the grandfather. We're bringing out the big guns. Because the others, like, they've got jobs and identities. What are you? I'm a grandfather. I'm nothing without that little kid. Here, have a lollipop. Do you know what I hate? Nothing. You know what I like? Nothing. I'm impartial. I don't even have an opinion on this John Bolton-style Grandpa Tesh.
Trump, fascinating and mysterious, saying...
Fascinating and mysterious. That's a strong view, isn't it? I find him fascinating and mysterious. I'd die for that man. Fascinating and mysterious. That's like, I don't feel that really about anybody.
He walks into a room and he sets people off one way or another.
I've never seen you looking so gorgeous as you did tonight. I've never seen you shine so bright. I never see so many men ask you if you wanted to dance. Looking for a little romance, and here I have my chance. Anyway, they're all impartial, these guys.
A young software engineer pledged, I will be fair and impartial. But many other potential jurors have been excused after saying...
The court artist ain't fair and impartial. They've drawn him sort of like somewhere between the Joker and Two-Face, haven't they? They've made him look like, there he is, that snarling little bastard.
They'd be unable to do that. The judge also dismissing one man who posted online when Trump was president, saying, get him out and lock him up.
He's one of the jurors. Get him out and lock him up. I'm impartial on the subject of Donald Trump. What should we do with him? Get him out and lock him up! Well, hold on a minute. That's a strong view, I think.
At a campaign stop after court Tuesday, Trump was asked whether he thinks the jurors who were chosen so far will be fair.
I'll let you know after the trial.
Amazing, amazing. Here's David Cameron. A lot of you in the chat are interested in David Cameron's relationship with the porcine community, the sow species, the old oinkers, the old pig snouts, aren't you? So a lot of people are saying that David Cameron may have... I mean, I think it's actually... He did... I feel like at some point, potentially, his reproductive organ was in a pig, but I that's alleged. But Blue Nose Bob puts it simpler. Pig fucker is what he said. But Blue Nose Bob, you are not... I mean, this is Rumble, baby. We're free to speak about... we're free to speak about David Cameron, globalist, former prime minister, and in the words of Blue Nose Bob, pig fucker. And here he is now.
I had a very good meeting with former President Trump, and actually, I noted...
It's like really impressed with their meetings that they have, aren't they? It was good, actually. I remember the days, if it was, I had a pocket square in, I looked brilliant. I sat in a wicker chair, and he looked at me, and I could tell he respected me. Then I noticed in the garden, sad to say, a hog wandered by, and I smelled bacon. And there was a stirring, and there was a rising, and I was out there in the yard!
Did that over the weekend, or just before the weekend, Speaker Johnson met with President Trump, and obviously it's American politics and one shouldn't get too involved, but...
Don't get too involved, we don't really get involved in other people's politics or anything, you know, we don't send money, for example, to censor dissenting speech about the Ukraine-Russia conflict, and we certainly don't supply weapons to one side of a conflict. We try and keep our mouths shut and our trousers down and our pigs entertained, if you know what I mean.
It sounded to me as if they are now thinking about how to turn that money from America to Ukraine that's so vital, perhaps to turn it into a loan rather than a grant. And that to me looked like good progress.
When you consider the state the world is in... do you feel especially reassured? We've been looking at it. We've bought over the Limeys. We've got our British friends over. And a lot of those grants we've turned into loans. Well, might I suggest that what you do instead is take some ayahuasca and go on a deep, deep voyage within your clearly very damaged psyche. And within there, you will discover the essence of the divine. And within that, you will discover that we are one glorious family of humanity, and that if we're not able to overcome our separateness, we're going to destroy each other. That I like as well. But instead, I think loans, not grants. What do you think, David? David! Oh no! It's happening again! It's happening again! Our great friend and ally, the brilliant Jimmy Dore, sums this up pretty beautifully. Everything they said would happen under Trump is happening under Biden, from prosecuting political opponents. Oh no. Oh, this is where we're doing it. Do excuse me. I want you to, at this moment, take the image of David Cameron meddling with a sow far from your mind. Will you do that for me? And now, let me see. I'd like to see Jimmy Dore's tweet, so I'm going to press 27, is what it says in here. Tell me what to press, guys, for Jimmy Dore's post, if you don't mind, if you can. Dear, give us a bit of comms, baby. All right, thank you. Thanks, guys. Everything they said, excuse me, we just had some technical things. We've got a deck there with a bunch of buttons on, and we've only got a certain amount of buttons, and then we have to change stuff. Everything they said would happen under Trump is happening under Biden. From prosecuting political opponents to criminalizing protesters, authoritarianism via lockdowns and mandated experimental medical treatments, a genocide of brown people in plain sight, and now war with Iran and World War III. Anything they accuse Trump of doing is a confession of their own. We are ruled by 100% corrupted enemies of the people, and only a revolution can change how this ends. That's from my fellow Putin apologist and Russian propagandist, Jimmy Dore. Okay, so let's have a look. Is this where we are? Yeah. Ooh, 52 minutes, baby. Yeah, that's all right. We can do this. We'll do this now. So let's jump into it. Is this trial that we're talking about, is this trial, the trial of Donald Trump, about misappropriation of political funds? Is it even about morality? Or is it about diverting your attention and shutting down political opponents? Let's have a look. Trump's sexual encounter with Stormzy Daniels is of interest only to his wife and family. The money paid to Daniels during the 2016 election campaign to keep her from selling her story to the media is likewise of little interest. The manner in which the funds were routed from Trump through his personal fixer, Michael Cohen, to Daniels constitutes at most a technical violation of federal election law, which would ordinarily be settled with the payment of a fine. As for state law, the filing of false business reports portraying the money disbursed to Cohen as payments for legal services was only a misdemeanor, and the statute of limitations has long expired. DA Bragg, however, leveraged the misdemeanor into a felony by alleging that the false reports were an element of a conspiracy to violate federal law, even though no federal prosecutor has chosen to bring such a case. He charged each of 34 false reports separately as a four-year felony with a combined maximum 20 years in prison upon confection. Conviction. I think I said confection because the whole thing's plainly a construct. Both the substance and the timing of the case are clearly calculated to benefit the Democratic Party in the 2024 election, a little like the Russiagate scandal, which proved to be false, a little like the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story, which proved to be true and was said to be false. At least in part by confining Trump to the Manhattan courtroom away from his own presidential campaign every day of the trial, which is expected to take many weeks. The political calculation could well be utterly mistaken. Are you more or less likely to vote for Trump now? Put more, M for more, and L for less. The Democrats' differences with Trump have largely revolved around foreign policy, particularly over the use of Ukraine as a political and military spearhead against Russia. This goes back to the 2014 Maidan coup under the Obama-Biden administration, which ousted an elected pro-Russian president and installed a virulently anti-Russian right-wing regime in Kiev, backed by fascist and neo-Nazi groups. The Mueller investigation, based on false allegations of widespread Russian interference in the 2016 elections and the first impeachment of Trump, based on his temporary withholding of US military aid to Ukraine, were both examples of this clash over foreign policy. Today, the central issue in official Washington is how to push through another $60 billion in emergency military aid to Ukraine, despite the opposition among a section of House Republicans. Nothing of this political reality is acknowledged by in the coverage of the Trump trial in the corporate media. Instead, there are solemn, hushed voice commentaries about historic character of the first ever criminal trial of a former president. You're right. That is how it's conveyed, isn't it? The obvious question, never voiced, of course, on the network news, is why Trump should be the first. Every ex-president in living memory should have been criminally prosecuted on charges like sanctioning mass murder, waging illegal wars, supporting military coups, authorizing torture, and spying on the entire world, including American citizens. But these actions, committed in defense of the worldwide interests of the US ruling elite, are not considered crimes by the US justice system. The criminalization of private sexual conduct is fundamentally reactionary, as are sex scandals in general. They degrade popular consciousness and drown political understanding in a geyser of sensationalism and prurience. The use of such allegations always involves an effort to conceal from the masses the real political differences being fought out within the ruling elite. Oh man, that's pretty good, isn't it? As for the question of hush money, it is well known that Democratic President Bill Clinton offered to pay $700,000 to Paula Jones to settle her lawsuit over her allegations of improper behavior. In that case, right-wing Republican lawyers induced Jones to refuse the money in order to engineer the perjury trap that led to Clinton's impeachment. In the current case, a Democratic district attorney is using equally underhanded methods. There is nothing progressive or democratic in such political cynicism. The fact that the attacks on Trump are always undergirded and portrayed with such piety, haughtiness, and condescension that we are always expected to believe that it is the neoliberal establishment that holds the higher ground, even as they use language mired in class hatred, the basket of deplorables, these idiots. Plainly, what is the play here is to instantiate further centralized authoritarianism to eliminate the possibility of a Trump presidency, not through the ballot box, but through the judiciary. Anyone who believes that this trial is about, hey, you're not supposed to use campaign funds like that, while, meanwhile, they are censoring anti-war voices, they're extraditing Julian Assange, they're funding and escalating wars all around the world, they're not using American military might, moral might, or the power of you, the real power resource to bring about world peace or true progress, or even to live in accordance with your own constitution and your own sanctity and your own sacred values. They're doing it to further enrich themselves and to further subjugate you. And I believe Jimmy Dore's right. At this point, nothing less than revolution will provide a solution. That's what I think, though, guys. I don't know what you think. You'll have to let me know what you think. Because while they're claiming that what they're doing is, you know, we're analyzing Donald Trump, we're the media, I'm Morning Joe, it's morning. Listen, if you're going to call that show Morning Joe, at some point, you're going to have to fucking wake up. Here they are on MSNBC looking at Donald Trump's face and pretending it's the news and that they're better than you, as always.
While you are sitting there in the jury pool, listening to the judge describe this case to you, Donald Trump is sitting at the defense table looking like this. Let's take that back down to a half screen of Donald Trump. Now, we normally don't allow Donald Trump.
You know, like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer gets accused of sexual impropriety. Mr. Simpson, your silence is only condemning you further. Mr. Trump, tell me, did you give Stormzy Daniels money out of campaign funds? Uh-huh. Yep, that's right. I've got Donald Trump on the line now. Mr. Trump, is it true that you have not properly tanned your ears? Later in this report, they talk about the application of his fake tan. Meanwhile, that bishop that was knifed live on the internet, he was attacked. We all saw it. You saw it earlier this week in Sydney. Are you familiar with this story? The reason I mention it now is because look at the response of true Christians to a violent attack. I'm not saying that religion is the determinant, or any particular religion is the determinant in how to respond, because surely much violence has been undertaken in the name of every religion, every nation, every ideology. But in this instance, when faced with a knife attack, you have to consider the response.
Good evening. I'm outside the Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Wakeley, which is the scene of a second mass stabbing event in Sydney. This church and its grounds are now a crime scene after a man approached a clergyman mid-sermon and stabbed him multiple times whilst it was being live streamed. We can't show you much of the very confronting video, but I can tell you many members of the congregation leapt to the defence of the bishop and in doing so sustained multiple wounds. Police have arrested the attacker whilst eight ambulances are currently treating the wounded. It is an incredibly chaotic scene here, with many members of the community outraged and crowding the streets.
Bishop Murray is a brilliant YouTuber, actually, and a wonderful communicator. You may have seen him on PBD or a variety of things, and I hope he comes on this show as soon as he's well enough to. Look at the church's response to these attacks. In the full statement, Christ the Good Shepherd Church pleads with all Christian faithful followers of Bishop Murray Emmanuel to keep peace with one another and your neighbour as the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded. The church denounces retaliation of any kind. The church categorises this attack as isolated and awaits police findings into the motive of the attacker. Our church also condones the behaviour of the non-compliant and asks the public to respect civil order while keeping the peace, which has been sanctioned by Almighty God. A separate statement also states, it is the bishop's and father's wish to pray for the perpetrator. Isn't that the solution to what we're facing across the world right now? an attitude of forgiveness, of faith, a belief in something higher. That we're not just here temporarily and materially to grab things from one another, whether it's favours or money or cash or entire countries or resources. That we are here in the service of one another, to awaken together, to become beautiful together. And we have discarded Christianity and religion as a hopeless superstition while being told that rationalism and neoliberalism and the pursuit of economic power and military power is the real solution. Meanwhile, ordinary Christian Americans and Americans of all faiths, I'm sure, are being sneered at by an establishment that would never deem to entertain a position and stance so sublime, lofty, and more important than that, perhaps, likely to bring about a peaceful solution. It's revolution time. Whose side are you on? All right, well, that's all we've got time for today. Listen, you want to consider becoming an awakened wonder? Please use the code ISURRENDER. You get additional content. We do longer shows. We do meditations. We're doing a reading, in fact, of this beautiful book, All Terrorist Groups Were Started by America and Britain, so they say in the Rumble Chat. Yeah, I ain't arguing with that, baby. You're right about that. Forgiveness isn't easy. No, forgiveness isn't easy. Of course it isn't easy. It's difficult. It's difficult. That's why we have to do it. We've got a fantastic show for you tomorrow. Roseanne Barr is coming on the show. You will love this conversation. If you were an awakened wonder, you could have joined us and put questions to her. She was very, very generous with her time. She's a very, very brilliant communicator and a lovely person. Next week, if you're an awakened wonder, you'll be able to join us live for our conversation with Colonel Douglas McGregor. So click the red button, become a member. You get 1 month for free if you use the code ISURRENDER. There's posted link, not in the Awaken Wonder chat. You're already in there, aren't you, SueBiz22 and Trad Annie? Hey, we did. I was talking about you, Trad Annie, earlier in the book reading of C.S. Lewis. We're getting cleverer by the day, I tells you. Cleverer by the day, and you have to. I want to welcome some of our new members like AJ Hambly, Nix, DevB64, Mothership Heart, Dandan2430. Thank you for joining our movement. Thank you for believing in us. If you're watching us on Rumble right now, remember, subscribe to the channel and give us a like. It really, really helps us. But more important than any of that, join us tomorrow, not for more of the same, but for Roseanne Barr. And more important than any of it, please, if you can, stay free.
No, here's the fucking news.